Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. We are eager to offer amazingly competitive prices, plus an additional $1,000 Costco discount on all new Cherry Hill Volvos. When leasing or purchasing a new or certified Cherry Hill Volvo, you become a valued part of our team. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
Okay, the question, of course, is what does Ed Rendell think about Joe Biden? Apparently, he told everybody he thinks Biden's fine. I think Rendell and Biden are not fine. I think that they're crazy, actually. I think Biden's got real problems. But the question, of course, is as I'm watching ads for Michael Bloomberg running in Pennsylvania, when the Pennsylvania primary is not until the spring, is Bloomberg just a total game changer? This, of course, has impeachment back on the table starting at 9 o'clock today. Welcome back to the show. An hour of nonstop talk unprecedented in the Philadelphia morning radio history. So glad you're with us today. 855-839-1210. Ted Cruz is on with Chuck Todd, and they're battling over this. So this issue of whether or not there was foreign influence by Ukraine in the election. And my question is, what is the definition of foreign influence? We know the Russians did not keep anyone from voting. We know that the Russians did not change any votes. We know the Russians didn't hack our election machines. The Russians put out propaganda. It's bad, but propaganda hits us all over the place. What's the difference between propaganda that is good and propaganda that is bad? I mean, what's the question? That's the question. Michael Bloomberg's ad is propaganda. All right, a Russian Facebook ad is propaganda. The question, of course, the argument that people make is, well, that propaganda moved voters away from Hillary Clinton. I don't believe that for a second. I really don't. I don't believe it moved people away. I think everybody knew her. I think everybody knew Donald Trump. But what about the propaganda put out by Ukraine against Trump? What about that? And this is what Chuck Todd is trying to explain to, what Ted Cruz is trying to explain to Chuck Todd, even though Chuck keeps interrupting him, does not let him get his point across. But Senator Cruz is making the point that, and by the way, it's shameful for Ted Chuck Todd to sit there with Ted Cruz and bring up all the stuff that Trump said about him in the primary. Now, these primaries are vicious, dirty contests. But that was years ago now. For him to bring it up is just nothing more than to find a way to insult Senator Ted Cruz and make him look like he's a lap boy to the president, a lap dog to the president. That's all that is. That's all that attempt is. It's a little more of the exchange.
That is the difference. What you're saying is you're saying a pickpocket, which essentially is a Hill op-ed, compared to Bernie Madoff and Vladimir Putin. You're trying to make them both seem equal. I don't understand that.
Chuck, I understand that you want to dismiss Ukrainian interference because A, they were trying to get Hillary Clinton elected, which is what the vast majority of the media wanted anyway, and B, it's inconvenient for the narrative. You know, it's hysterical. 2 years ago, there was article after article after article in the mainstream media about Ukrainian interference in the elections. But now the Democrats have no evidence of a crime, no evidence of violating the law. And so suddenly Ukrainian interference is treated as the media clutches their pearls. Oh, my goodness, you can't say that. Last week, Chuck, you called Senator John Kennedy basically a stooge for Putin.
I did not.
The press needs to stop being ridiculous,
Senator,
acting like they work for Adam Schiff.
Okay. I will tell you that as you look at the context of impeachment coming up and you think about Ukraine and what role they might have taken with regards to the 2016 election, ask yourself this question. Do op-eds move people? When world leaders are out there making comments about Donald Trump, does that move you? Now, maybe you want to show off for your smart mainline friends. And when you're at the cocktail party and they bring up the fact that, say, Mexico's then president Enrique Peña Nieto said Trump was like Mussolini. Or maybe they bring up Ecuador's president to you. Well, what do you say to this? The Ecuadorian president said Trump's discourse is so dumb, so basic. Are those things not propaganda? The Danish foreign minister, Christian Jensen, said about Trump, he changes opinions like the rest of us change underwear. All this is in the Washington Post article. As they glorify this, they go, all these world leaders mocked him, routinely mocking him. It wasn't just Ukraine mocking him. It wasn't just Ukraine writing op-eds and putting stuff on Facebook and social media. All these countries were doing it. But isn't that propaganda? Jimmy Akesson, the leader of the far-right Sweden Democrats, said he's very good at making speeches, but as a politician and a world leader, I don't think it's a very good idea. Seriously, have you ever heard me saying something like that, said French far-right politician Marine Le Pen about Trump's proposed Muslim ban? And it goes on and on and on, all around the world. Now, you know that those posts, those comments were shared on social media. They were shared on Facebook. They were shared on Twitter. They were people used them. Democrats used them in the campaign to try to embarrass Trump supporters. How can you back this guy when people are saying this, when these world leaders, we're a joke, we're a joke? How is that not propaganda? Now, do I think all these countries engage in propaganda that actually then change the outcome of the election? No, but obviously, if somebody on Facebook takes the quote from Ukraine or France or Ecuador or Mexico or any of these other countries and then shares it on social media, you're promulgating that, you're putting it out there. And could it affect opinions? I guess. How is that different than Russia with bots on social media putting out Hillary Clinton stuff, going after Hillary Clinton? It's not. It's not. That's the thing. Propaganda is only as effective as you let it be. Nobody physically stops you from voting. Nobody physically interfered with the election. But that's the argument. And yet when you throw that up in their face about Ukraine, you say, yeah, but Ukraine was putting out stuff against Trump. They go, Senator, Senator, that's silly, Senator. Senator, how do you believe that, Senator? Come on. How is it different? And why is it then that those Ukraine Democrats, I mean, the Democrats in the Senate sent the letter to Ukraine saying cooperate with Mueller or else you lose the money? Because they obviously know Ukraine knew stuff about the 2016 Russian interference, and they might have been part of it in some way. But if you bring that up, then you get the Senator, Senator, you don't, yep, you don't honestly believe that now, do you? Speaking of Russia, Alan Dershowitz was on last night with Mark Levin on Life, Liberty, and Levin. By the way, I'll be filling in for Mark Levin Wednesday night. Mark your calendars. And the Dersh, and these guys are two, both constitutional scholars. The Dersh makes this great point. Remember, the Dersh did not vote for Donald Trump. The Dersh is not a Trump supporter. But he makes a great point with regards to what this whole process is like, including what they're going to do today at 9 a.m. when the House Judiciary Committee meets to formally begin to vote on articles of impeachment.
This word bribery really has a specific meaning, and it really doesn't have the meaning that many people seem to suggest it does. It doesn't mean everything and anything, and it doesn't necessarily mean this. What does it mean?
There are four criteria. We know what treason means because treason is defined in the Constitution. Bribery, you know, we know it when we see it, when you pay a government official corruptly to perform an illegal act or an act that is motivated by money, but it can't operate when you're the president of the United States and you're conditioning or withholding money in order to make sure that a country isn't corrupt and you're asking them to investigate. That just doesn't fit any definition of bribery, common law definition of bribery, statutory definition of bribery. However you define the constitutional word bribery, it just doesn't fit. What they're trying to do is what the KGB under Lavrenty Beria said to Stalin, the dictator. I'm not comparing our country to the Soviet Union. Just want to make sure it never becomes anything like that. Beria said to Stalin, show me the man and I'll find you the crime. And that's what some of the Democrats are doing. They have Trump in their sights. They want to figure out a way of impeaching him. And they're searching for a crime. First, they came up with abuse of power. Not a crime. It's not in the Constitution. So now they're saying bribery, but they're making it up. There is no case for bribery based on even if all the allegations against the president were to be proved, which they haven't been, but even if they were to be proved, it would not constitute the impeachable offense of bribery.
By the way, a lot of Democrats, as you know, were against, firmly against impeachment in the 1990s when Bill Clinton was being impeached, and they're all in now. And you listen to their comments back then versus now, and it's night and day, right? Well, the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos actually had, I guess, an unbiased moment and asked a Democrat about this. He had on this weekend on the ABC Sunday morning show with George Stephanopoulos. Take a listen.
Back in 1998, you warned Republicans against undoing, that was your word, a free election expressing the will of the people. Here's what you had to say.
You will set the dangerous precedent that the certainty of presidential terms, which has so benefited our wonderful America, will be replaced by the partisan use of impeachment. Future presidents will face election, then litigation, then impeachment.
Republicans are echoing that argument today. They're saying that's exactly what has happened.
What I should have said, and I think I did say throughout the Clinton impeachment, was first you need a high crime and misdemeanor. Lying about sex is not an abuse of presidential power, maybe husband power. And certainly Trump has done the same thing when it comes to Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal. We're not proceeding on his lies about his affairs. That has nothing to do with the abuse of presidential power any more than it did in the Clinton administration. Here we have an instance, as we did with Nixon, of abuse of the power that is vested in the president. And the founders were very concerned that the president that they had created in the Constitution had enormous powers. And if unchecked, if use of that power was made to subvert the constitutional order, there had to be a remedy. And that remedy was impeachment.
Now, of course, the unbiased journalist could have interrupted her and said, but it wasn't about lying about sex. The issue of the question of whether or not he perjured himself in the course of an investigation. Again, the president's covering up investigations. I'm not defending the impeachment of Bill Clinton, but she puts it out there and then just is allowed to move on. And I think it's part of George Stephanopoulos's point. It's not actually being unbiased. He wants them to explain why, when Republicans put these clips of them being against impeachment, why it's different. See, George is just, he's being a Democrat strategist. He just wants to get it on the record. Explain to people why it's different so that they know. I'm not going to challenge you on it, but it's important for you to get that out there because everybody needs to stop sharing all these clips of people like you, Zoe Lofgren, or whoever else, saying that impeachment was bad and now it's good. So make your case. I'm going to sit back here and grab a snack. Go ahead. And he's eating a muffin or a scone. Go ahead. You got time. Knock yourself out. Gets a drink. She's just going on, going on, going on, going on. Then he comes back. So, Wednesday, good day? Tuesday? What do you think? What's a good day? I mean, he doesn't actually stop and go, well, Congresswoman, please. I mean, you know, don't you think that it's actually significant what you said about undoing the will of the people? I mean, isn't that the same exact thing that you're talking about here? I mean, just... It's like this. It's like, Congresswoman, to be fair, all these people are using clips to say why you're all a bunch of hypocrites. Explain it away. I'm going to do a little smoke break. If you don't do a good job, I'll do it for you. But so I can keep the air of being an unbiased journalist going, see how you do. He's eating a blueberry scone. Delicious. Delicious. Yeah, like you said, so in the good. White House when I was there with Bill Clinton back in the day. Of course, that George Stephanopoulos died in a tragic choking accident. Oh, he choked on a scone. Terrible when that happened,
terrible,
right?
Terrible, yep.
Burned himself on hot coffee and choked on a scone.
I mean.
This young George Stephanopoulos, budding young journalist, 19 years old, ready to get this Democrat congresswoman. Get her. Show the hypocrisy. Expose it to the world. I mean, he gave her like 90 seconds to answer and didn't say a word.
Yes.
Not a word. Was he in the room? You look over, his earpiece is on the table. He's changing his shoes in the corner. Like, what the hell's he doing?
He had to run after this week.
He's like, I really got to use the bathroom. You know what, Congresswoman, explain why this is different. I'll be right back. Take your time. I'll give you about 90 seconds, and I'll come back. And we'll just pick it up right there. As long as you do a good job. Explaining why it's different, I won't have to. It makes my job easier. Amazing. It's amazing. I mean, because really, how long was that clip?
Minute 25, and the first 20 seconds were him playing the clip for her. So
he gave her about a minute.
Longer than a minute, a minute 10.
Uninterrupted runway to explain why it's different.
Yes.
Without a single interruption or challenge or pushback. Meanwhile, Chuck Todd with Ted Cruz. Senator. You don't believe that. Do you really? You believe that? Oh, wow. 855-839-1210. What bias, I ask you. Now, Representative Al Green says we have to impeach Trump. We have to do it to deal with slavery. I don't exactly understand that, but MSNBC's Alex Witt, you're going to hear a lot of
But I also think that if we don't include some of the things that are important to people of color, then I think that our business won't be finished, Ms. Witt. Mm-hmm. I do believe, ma'am, that we have to deal with the original sin. We have to deal with slavery. Slavery was the thing that put all of what President Trump has done lately into motion.
Does Trump have slaves? Am I missing something? I mean, I've been to Bedminster. I've been to Mar-a-Lago. I have not seen any slaves. What am I missing here?
They're hidden, I think.
They're hidden slaves?
Stop.
They're invisible.
I mean, I was literally in his office in Trump Tower on multiple occasions. Never saw a slave. No slaves, as anywhere I could tell. I didn't even see low-paid workers. I mean, everybody was making a decent salary. Who are the slaves? Where are the slaves? I'm trying to understand his point on this, Al Green. It's like Donald Trump is basically the slave owner. We got to impeach him for this crime of slavery, but he wasn't around during slavery, and as far as I know, does not have any slaves. Doesn't endorse slavery. Has Trump proposed bringing slavery back? Have I missed that?
No.
We're going to undo the 13th Amendment. I mean, you haven't heard that, right?
Of course not.
No. I mean, he treated me kind of like a slave when he stole that plate, took that plate out of my hands and gave it to you. Like, I mean, I guess you could argue that that's kind of treating like a staff member, a former staff member that way. But that's politics. It's how you're always treated on a campaign. Hours are long. It's terrible. But I'm not equating that to slavery. But Al Green is.
Into motion. It's insidious scion, racism. And the president has played on racism, and he's used that as a weapon to galvanize a base of support, to mobilize people. We cannot overlook what happened when he came down the escalator and just demeaned people of color, when he talked about the S-hole countries. He has found a way to use ugly words to his benefit and to the detriment of the people who are the object of his words. Emily Dickinson said, "A word is dead when it is said, some say. I say it just begins to live that day." His words take on life and meaning, and they hurt. And I know the people who are being hurt. And I came to Congress to represent them. And I cannot let it go. So I appreciate whatever we will do. But until we deal with the issue of invidious discrimination as it relates to LGBTQ community, the anti-Semitism, the racism, the Islamophobia, the transphobia, and also the misogyny that he has exemplified, I don't think our work is done.
This guy's a social justice warrior kook, by the way. What a kook. What is Trump doing to the LGBTQ? Is he enslaving them? Did I miss that? We're going to have gay slaves. I'm trying to understand the thinking of this congressman, and it's very difficult for me to do so. I do know that the president signed the First Step Back into law, which benefits a lot of African-Americans who are in prison and helps get them out, which is something that they've been fighting for years. I know that one of the historically black colleges in New Jersey just got federal funding for the first time in its history because Donald Trump signed a law that allows historically black colleges to be able to get federal funding. I know that Donald Trump has helped with the lowest unemployment for blacks in this country in history. I mean, I know these things. I see those things. I know that he got an award, a civil rights award for the First Step Act. I see all that, but I don't see slaves anywhere. I don't really see that. I don't get that. But if we're going to punish him for the institutional discrimination, racism, and phobia, all the 11 phobias he named of this country, you understand where he's coming from, right? America's a bad place, and we've always been bad, and we got to punish him now to prove a point that we're bad or something, I guess. I don't really quite understand it. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Chris Ruddy from Newsmax will be on the show tomorrow. I'm excited to talk to Chris Ruddy. He's a close friend of the president.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Let's see. Jay is in Cherry Hill. Jay, good morning.
Good morning, Rich. What kind of white supremacist has grandchildren and a son-in-law who are Jewish?
Yeah, and a daughter, too. She converted.
And a converted daughter. David Duke, I don't think would ever have Jewish grandchildren.
No, and David Duke hates Donald Trump, by the way, and he's not backing him for president in 2020.
I think the Republicans should really push back on all these characterizations. Al Green, I think the R&B singer has more cogent points than that congressman.
I mean, the guy is a nut, right? He's a nut. Jay, thanks for the point. I appreciate it. Yes, Jared Kushner is, of course, Jewish, and Ivanka converted, and their kids, they're being raised Orthodox. And the president considers Jared his closest advisor. Jared's with him all the time. He was with him overseas at NATO. He's there all the time. And Israel, the nation of Israel, has said that there's no greater friend than President Trump. I mean, they moved the capital to Jerusalem. They recognized Jerusalem as the capital. They moved the embassy to Jerusalem. That was huge. Not exactly the kind of thing white supremacists do. And I'll tell you something else, too. I mean, when you throw these things out there, it becomes very, very uncomfortable for people, so they don't like to push back on it. But you have to push back on it. You have to. This is a historic moment, of course. CNN turned to Pelosi's daughter to cheer on her historic mom. They were very happy. Brooke Baldwin, Anderson Cooper, celebrating the history of the moment to bring in her daughter, Christine, to share in the moment.
And with me now, Nancy Pelosi's daughter, Christine. She is the chair of the California Democratic Party Women's Caucus, and she just wrote a book on her mother entitled The Nancy Pelosi Way. So, Christine, welcome.
Thank you so much.
So, this is a historic moment for this country, certainly for your mother. Your tweet with the hashtag, don't mess with mama, it has been trending. I mean, you know this woman better than anyone. Is this classic Nancy Pelosi? Is this the mom you've always known?
Is this the mom you've always known? Remember when she said this about her mother?
She'll cut your head off and you won't even know you're bleeding.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah. What's historic about, is it that her, is she saying it's historic because it's her mom?
It's historic. It's a historic moment in our history.
Okay.
Remember that montage from last week? How many times the word historic was played?
Yes.
How many times did you ever count that?
I didn't, but I can bring it up right now. We can do our own little count if you want to.
So we can just start saying it's historic about like the Zioli show. We could just like anybody could do that.
Well, it was historic that we launched the online store on Friday and sold out women's t-shirts.
It was history.
Before the show ended.
That's true.
Before the show went off the air.
So we've had our own historic.
She'll cut your head off and you won't even know you're bleeding.
Oh, yum.
Tasty.
Stop. It's a sin.
Got a little blood in my gums. That gingivitis? No, it's leftovers.
Oh, come on.
What?
Oh, that's gross.
What?
Oh, here's the montage from Friday.
Good afternoon, and with that gavel coming down, I'm Jake Tapper in Washington, and you're watching special coverage of this historic day.
This is a historic day here in the nation's capital.
It will be a busy and historic day.
Wait, stop. Let's see if there's a bell. Do I have a bell I can sound every time they say it? Let's see. I don't think so. I need a bell. Let me see. Like a ding. A ding-ding. Let's see. Do I have a ding?
Any dings here.
Any dings. So I have a ding. Get me a ding. No, I don't have a ding. Oh, I got a ding. I got a ding. Okay, I found a ding. Okay, let's try this ding. Ready? Okay.
There we go.
Let's do this. Every time historic is mentioned.
Good afternoon, and with that gavel coming down, I'm Jake Tapper in Washington, and you're watching special coverage of this historic day.
This is a historic day here in the nation's capital.
It will be a busy and historic day ahead.
You're watching CNN's special live coverage of what can only be described as an historic day.
This is turning out to be a historic day, a very important day. And another very, very important and historic day, a very historic and important day. Another historic day here in Washington. Historic day here in the nation's capital. Chris, this is going to be another historic day here in Washington.
At the end of a long and certainly historic day.
A truly historic day. It was a historic day on Capitol Hill.
A historic day with millions watching.
A historic day.
Historic day on this historic day. We're just getting started on this important historic day.
All right, it is a historic day on Capitol Hill.
21.
And 21. And Matt, how long is that montage?
50 seconds.
Not bad. Not bad.
Everything is historic.
Everything's historic. Now let's see here. Now the other amazing. There's a lot of great audio, but I love this. I love all of it. They turn to Pelosi's daughter for that historic moment to share in the history of that moment. Is this just classic Nancy? Is this just classic your mother? Like her what? Over at ABC, though, the Senate trial, this could be a time for 2020 Democrats to shine on George Stephanopoulos, the unbiased journalist who is doing his part to make sure that everybody knows this is a great opportunity for Senate Democrats who want to be president.
Speaking of the Democrats running for president, let's talk about another thing Rachel brought up, which is that if
this impeachment process goes to a trial in the Senate, there are going to be five presidential candidates who will be pulled off the trail to sit in the Senate as jurors, and it's going to suck up a lot of attention, continue to suck up a lot of attention, which might otherwise, at least fractionally, go to Democrats running for president. So is a Senate trial potentially quite bad for the Democratic presidential hopefuls?
Depends on which Democrats you're talking about. First of all, I'm not sure that lack of attention hurts the overall field. Sometimes when there's a lot of scrutiny, it can actually, it's one of the things we've seen. Whoever has gotten into the spotlight has tended to then hit a wall, whether it's Elizabeth Warren, who was doing quite well, and then hit back, or Joe Biden being the front runner from the start. But if you look at the fact of the Senate trial, almost certain to be coming up, could it help Pete Buttigieg and Joe Biden, who can be in Iowa and won't be jurors in that Senate trial? For the senators who will have to be jurors, maybe they can use that as a moment to show their qualifications, to show their skill. It won't necessarily hurt them, but it's clearly something that they're all going to have to factor into their strategies.
Yes, this is four-dimensional chess.
Yes, it is four-dimensional chess. And, I mean, they could really shine. They could really shine when they're up there. Of course, the Senate trial means a lot of them can't be on the campaign trail. Michael Bloomberg doesn't have to worry about that. He's already spending billions of dollars on campaign ads. And this is hurting a lot of people, including Elizabeth Warren, America's mother-in-law, who's very hurt on this. Her poll numbers are dropping, and they're dropping like a rock, and it's very troubling for her. Wait till you hear her address the question of whether or not she was okay lying about her fake Native American heritage. Greg is in Dresher. Greg, good morning.
Good morning. So, first of all, to directly answer your question about propaganda, I was not swayed. But they are both propaganda. The thing that I wanted to talk about, though, was, you know, how does Chuck Todd get away with what he gets away with? I think you need to look no further than the leadership at Comcast, which is Democrat from the top to the bottom. David L. Cohen was Ed Rendell's chief of staff. He's now the CEO at Comcast. I believe the CEO.
He's the executive vice president. He's leaving, but yeah. I get your point. Yeah, and then they, of course, Comcast owns NBC, MSNBC. Yes, without a doubt.
Exactly. I think you know they have MSNBC as a way of dulling people's brains so that they don't notice how biased NBC is becoming, because MSNBC is so loony that NBC looks unbiased in contrast, when in fact they're very biased.
That's amazing. It's a really good thought. You know, MSNBC, they have the Meet the Press daily show. If you just can't wait till Sunday, you can watch it on there every day of the week.
24 hours a day.
That's right. That's a great point, though, Greg, about that. About it sort of desensitizes you a little bit to NBC's bias.
Yes, absolutely.
Anyway, all right, buddy. Well, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. That's an excellent point. 855-839-1210. Listen, here's the deal. Tonight, big game, of course, and our team is expected to win. So, perfect time for you to check out FanDuel as we do this hour of nonstop talk. Yes. All right. Happy Monday. Great to have you with us. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli and Facebook.com/Zeoli Show. We are going to restock the ladies edition of the shirt in the store for you ASAP. Thank you for your support of the show. We appreciate it very, very much. So with all this happening, of course, it's easy to forget that we're also in the midst of the 2020 presidential election. Easy to forget. But I won't let you forget it because we have to discuss that as well, of course. And over the weekend and on Friday, they had something called the Pennsylvania Society. This is all the big wigs in Pennsylvania politics go to New York, and they all talk politics. While they were over there, Governor Ed Rendell talked about Joe Biden. He said, Joe Biden's doing fine. He's raising money. He's doing fine. There's nothing to worry about. I don't know, man. Bloomberg is pounding the airwaves. I mean, I must have seen four Bloomberg ads this morning on Morning Drive television in Philadelphia. He's already spending money in Pennsylvania. Joe Biden doesn't even have any money to spend yet. So the question then, of course, is Michael Bloomberg a game changer? Well, first of all, Joe Biden's got some problems. I mean, this happened again on the campaign trail. He said he was in the wrong state once again, thought he was in a different state than he was in. Of course, all the stuff with the hairy legs, corn pop. I mean, just on and on with the gaffes everywhere. And now it's coming out, too, that Joe Biden once praised a group that flies the Confederate flag. That's right. So they're bringing that up. But here's Joe Biden thinking he's in Iowa. He's actually in New Hampshire. Easy to make that mistake. I can't tell you how many times I've asked for directions in New Hampshire to get to Dayton. No, is Dayton in Iowa?
No, that's Ohio.
Ohio. Yeah. What's in Iowa? Anyone?
Des Moines.
Des Moines, yeah. Hey, excuse me. To get to Des Moines, do I take that road? This is New Hampshire. Oh. Right next to each other, right? No, I was like 9 hours away. What are you talking about? It's the middle of the country. This is New Hampshire. But it happens. It's easy to happen. Cut nine.
You have an incredible obligation, not to me at all, to yourselves. Because what you do here in Iowa, what they do in Iowa, what you do here in a primary in New Hampshire, is going to set the tone for who is likely to be.
What you do here in Iowa, I mean, what they do in Iowa, what you do.
You have an incredible obligation, not to me at all, to yourselves. Because what you do here in Iowa, what they do in Iowa, what you do here in a primary in New Hampshire, is going to set the tone.
I mean, wherever the hell you people are, wherever I am. So Biden was asked a question about whether or not the new party is AOC's party now, whether or not that she represents the direction of the party. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, of course, the young socialist, he was on Axios on HBO in Iowa, and whether or not she is shaping the race.
Medicare for all. Do you think that's political
suicide? The party's
not
there. The party's not there at all.
Some of your opponents are.
Yeah, but the party's not there. You know the numbers.
What do you think?
You guys got it all wrong about what happened. And
you sound like Trump.
Yeah, I do. No, look, you know, it's not fake. It's just bad judgment. You all thought that what happened was the party moved extremely to the left after Hillary. AOC was the new party. She's a bright, wonderful person. But where's the party? Come on, man.
Where's the party, man? Come on, man. Come on, man. Where's the party? Where's the party at? I got booze. I got a keg.
That's like Matt McConaughey.
He's a bright, wonderful person. But where's the party? Come on, man.
Come on, man. I'm carrying this keg. My back hurts. I got 12 cases of Milwaukee's Best.
Party at the Moon Tower.
Come on, man.
But where's the party? Come on, man.
Get to it. 9 o'clock. I got my drink on. Right? It's like he's going to a kegger with the guys. Come on, man. I got here. It's your dumb podcast. I thought I was going to a kegger.
But where's the party? Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
I want to go see young socialist hotties. I don't want to talk about them. I want to see them. Joe Biden, of course, is the presumptive frontrunner still. I don't know how anyone could say that. But America's mother-in-law is dropping in the polls. And a big part of the reason for that, of course, is she's a terrible candidate. And America's mother-in-law was confronted over her Native American claims, of course, when she lied about being Native American. Cut three.
So what do I say to my Native American relatives regarding the confusion around the Native American ancestry issue?
I shouldn't have done it.
Grew up in Oklahoma, and my three older brothers and I learned about our family, same way most people do, from our mom and from our dad. My family's very important to me, and that's why many years ago, I sometimes identified as Native American. Boston Globe did a big investigation about this.
I identified as Native American? You can do that now?
Sure.
All right. I'm identifying as a Swiss national. So I don't have to pay any taxes. Can I do that?
Nope.
Can I identify as the Prime Minister of Italy?
That might be fun. Well, I mean, might be fun.
Yeah, no,
Scusi, I'm the Prime Minister. I identify as a citizen of Italy.
Yeah, no, you could definitely do that.
You could definitely do that, right? You identify as a Native American?
Many years
Unbelievable.
Ago, I sometimes identified as Native American.
I identified as Czechoslovakian. Why not? Sounds cool. You check? Yeah, I'm check, 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 check. I get to do that. Check, check. That's awesome.
Wow.
So does she apologize?
I mean, she at the very beginning, she says, I shouldn't have done it. I think she circles back to it at the end here.
I sometimes identified as Native American. Boston Globe did a big investigation about this, been about a year and a half ago. Never had anything to do with any job I ever got or any benefit. But even so, I shouldn't have done it.
There we go.
I am not a person of color. I am not a citizen of a tribe. And I have apologized for confusion I've caused on tribal citizenship, tribal sovereignty, and for any harm that I've caused.
I've circled the wagons.
No, it's not.
And I am sorry. I'm going to denounce the, what was it, the powwow cookbook?
Yes.
Was that what it was?
Yes.
The wampum cookbook?
Yes.
With her fake Native American recipes? I identify as Native American for the purposes of getting a casino license. Can I do that?
You said this a while ago. That's her tell.
Her
right?
tell when yes. she's lying is yes. when she does this. Right?
Yep.
That's totally the tell. That's the Elizabeth tell. Warren tell. Yep.
We all have that. Yes.
Ooh. She can't help it.
No.
She's like, I totally got caught and just try to forgive me, please. Wow. I once in a while identified as Native American. What do you identify as, Dawn?
Woman.
I'm a Hawaiian god. So that Tulsi finds me attractive. I identify as a Hawaiian man god.
Oh, mighty Zioli Hawaiian man god.
I can talk to volcanoes and make it rain. That's how I identify.
I sometimes identified as Native American.
I'm going to identify as a Florida resident when I go to Disney World so I can get the cheap rates
you
to get into the park.
I like it.
Hi, I'm a Florida resident. Do you have a license? Nope, I identify as a Florida resident. So charge me the Florida resident price.
Good luck with that.
On my tax form, they're going to say state. I'm going to put Florida because it's I don't pay any income taxes. And when they say New Jersey comes after me, I'm going to go, I identify as a resident of Florida. How many times do I have to say this? How many times do I have to tell you people at the IRS? But you don't think it'll work, huh? She also now, this isn't the only dumb quote she had of the day. She was also pressed on spending. And, you know, the thing about money is that you can always make
If you're
more
elected
of it,
president, will you fulfill this nation's promise to better fund Title I and to fully fund the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act? And if the answer is yes, how do you pay for that?
So the answer is yes. And pay for it? This is about our priorities. What matters most to us? A budget is about priorities. I was a special needs teacher.
There we go.
I understand.
You were fired for being pregnant.
The importance right. of investing in every one of our children.
Okay.
I have fought for full funding for Title I. I've been in these fights. And the way I see it, there's always money.
There's always money.
Are we going to spend the money on defense or are we going to spend the money on our children?
Sounds like your like drunken spouse on vacation. There's always money. It's vacation.
Yes.
Come on. Let's go do it. Let's go parachuting. Let's go. You know what I mean? Like, let's do it. We got money. There's always money. I'll work more.
Come on. There's always money.
Come on. There's always money for me to take. I can tax more people.
For your next contract negotiations, ask for $1 billion.
Yeah.
And when they say no, you say, you know, there's always money.
Come on. There's always money.
I turn to my agent, Elizabeth Warren.
Come on. There's always money.
And they say, no, there isn't. Oh, maybe you didn't hear me.
Come on. There's always money.
All right. Come on. Cough it up. Cough it up. That's a good strategy, Greg. I like that for contract negotiations. Yep. I think it's very, very smart. Absolutely. 855-839-1210, The Zioli Show on Twitter, at Rich Zioli. You know, why don't we do our movie clip today? Because we sometimes forget to do it.
Forget,
we should do it.
Yeah.
The Morning Mystery Clips. On Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hi there. Are you a large person? Pleasantly plump? A little on the hefty side, perhaps? Well, let's face it. Are you fat? When you go jogging, do you leave potholes? When you make love, do you have to give directions? At the zoo, do elephants throw you peanuts? Do you look at a menu and say, okay? Well, now you can eat all you want. Because at Thornton Melon's Tall and Fat Stores, we've got you covered. That's right, fine woolen. And woolen blends suits and sport coats in all the larger sizes. Husky, stout, extra stuff at the new Hindenburg line. And for you ladies, we have caftans, muumuus, and our own exclusive A-frame in all colors and patterns.
Think you know what it is? Be call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
It's a pair of tickets to the National Constitution Center. Go check them out. Great place to learn about our history. Good luck. Boy, they'd never be able to make that movie again, huh?
Oh, man. Oof. What a great clip, though. That
fantastic.
That is a great clip.
That was appealing to Jerry Nadler before he got the lap band surgery, back when he was known by Donald Trump as Fat Jerry.
You followed the show on Friday.
Yes, we did. And how it saved his life. Yes. Trump's fat shaming saved his life. In a moment, we'll hear from another larger man, Chris Christie, who was on with ABC News talking about Cory Booker. That's a great clip. I'll play that. But say good morning to Dawn. Happy Monday, Dawn. Big game tonight.
Yes.
We're looking forward to it. This weather stinks, though.
This weather does stink. We've got 42 degrees, rainy, very foggy. So be careful. A lot of accidents and road. It's crazy out there. So sorry for that. 42 degrees. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. The Only Show News brought to you by Cherry Hill Volvo. So a vandal struck again. The famous statue of Philadelphia Mayor Frank Rizzo, painting the word fascist across the statue, putting a sticker on his head, reigniting controversy over moving the statue, which Mayor Kenney says he'll move next year. Former Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Michael Vick, expected to be honored by the NFL as one of the four legends captains at the 2020 Pro Bowl, arguably one of the most talented former NFL players, known for his speed. Philadelphia, as you know, gave him a second chance after serving a federal prison sentence of 18 months for dogfighting. So now a change.org petition is one of the many petitions circulating, calling on the NFL to revoke the honor, with about 400 people signing the petition. But fans are really split online. So Vic did a lot of work with animal organizations after he served prison time. He did his time on his road to redemption. So a professor who has accurately predicted the winner of 8 of the last 9 presidential elections says 2020 is still officially, quote, too close to call. So this is Professor Alan Lichtman, kind of a cult figure in American politics. He predicted Trump would win in 2016. You remember this, and Zioli talked about it, if you remember. So that was despite the polls. So Lichtman says it's very close right now, with too much, quote, up in the air in the age of Trump.
Hmm.
So I thought that was really interesting.
Fascinating.
He's leaning toward Trump winning again, but it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's hard also to, you know, who's going to run against him to even come to a conclusion on that.
It's very early.
But at least he's not saying, yeah, Trump's going to get his butt kicked, you know what I mean? Because that's, you know. So he's saying, well, right now it leans Trump, but there's too many variables, which makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. A woman who lied on her resume and faked, quote, glowing references to land a high-paying job is heading to prison. This is Veronica Thierault, convicted of deception and abuse of public office after lying to get a job as chief information officer in Australia.
Oh, Australia. Wow. Because if they put people away in this country for lying on their resume, they have to build new prisons.
It pays $185,000 in American dollars.
Wow.
They pay it's just ironic.
You can buy Australia for $185,000. Wow.
So a Methodist church in Claremont, California, displaying a nativity scene depicting Jesus, Mary, and Joseph as refugees in cages. Yeah, that one's going viral. It's the it's the end of an era for leave Jesus, Jesus out of it, for crying out loud.
No. Gotta put everything in walls and cages. And
End of an era for Jersey Shore, Nicole Pelosi LaValle, much better known
Snooki.
As Snooki. Yes, she's announced she's leaving the MTV reality show. She's 32 years old. She's a married mom of 3. Says she's retiring, and she just hates being away from her kids.
Oh, we're going to miss her.
Full time now.
Snooki.
But a lot of excitement for a Jersey girl, a real Jersey girl.
Remember that time Joe Biden showed up at the Shore House and said, come on, where's the party at, man? He was not invited.
No.
But he showed up anyway. Remember that?
Yes.
But where's the party? Come on, man.
Come on, man. And then Mike the Situation answered the door, would have let him in. Come on, man.
But where's the party? Come on, man.
Come on, I got Coors Light.
Yeah, he would be the guy who showed up with Coors Light.
Right?
Yeah,
100%. Be like, that's what you brought? Really? Really?
Finally, a lot of excitement gone viral for a Jersey girl considered a top contender for the Miss Universe competition. So she now Miss South Africa ultimately won the crown during last night's show in Atlanta, Georgia. Miss Puerto Rico Madison Anderson, gorgeous, was first runner-up. But going viral, images of Zalika Soler from New Jersey. She was born in Union, New Jersey, but she hails from her people hail from El Salvador. So she represented El Salvador. So she's a model, thanking supporters on social media, and she competed against 90 other delegates. I don't know if you saw it, but they do have a bathing suit, a bikini competition.
Oh, I'm going to be watching it.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't had a chance yet, but I certainly will. Yeah, Thank you for the recommendation.
Yeah, so Fox's Telemundo is bragging about its 2.5 billion viewers who watched last night worldwide. The bathing suit competition.
Like, see, it works. The bathing suit works. When they take it out of the Miss America pageant, it fails miserably. People don't mind seeing beauty. Now, Gerald, they're in a bathing suit. It's a different story.
And Steve Harvey did have a goof. He blamed the prompter, but he did it at one point announce the wrong person, but he said it was in the prompter.
He does that every year.
I know.
He messes up every year, Steve Harvey.
We should be used to it. Eyewitness weather, 55 degrees today.
Remember that one year he named the woman and was like, nope, yes. Sorry, wait.
Can you imagine?
Hang on, give me that crown back. Remember he did that?
Yes.
Oof.
Yes, he got it wrong. But this was like, I don't know, the costume competition or something, and he started to name the wrong person, and then he went, oops, it was in the prompter. It's not my fault this time.
That's not as bad as when he went, and Miss Universe is Peggy. Peggy gonna need that crown back. Sorry.
Oops. So today and tomorrow, warm. 55 today, 60 tomorrow. You see it outside. It's pea soup right now. Horrible conditions. But the evening commute is going to be even worse because it will be 100% chance of rain.
Oh, great.
I know. It's going to be like pouring.
It's going to be fun tailgating tonight before the game, right?
Yeah, I know.
Man.
Well, don't they say rain is good luck for a wedding? Hopefully it's good luck for our Eagles tonight.
Good point. Good point.
We're going with that. Okay, brought to you by...
By the way, when it rains, how do they affect the odds? Does that factor in?
Oh,
like, are we
true.
A good team in the rain, or do we know?
Oh, Vegas knows that kind of information.
Yeah?
Yeah. They know every possible outcome you could factor.
Really?
For sports games. Yeah, it's incredible, the math and the information that goes into this.
So they got to affect the fact... I mean, account for the fact it's going to be 100% chance of rain tonight in the game.
Yeah. Like, if you're using the FanDuel app tonight, bet the under... And take the points.
That's your advice. Bet the under and take the points.
I'm sorry. Bet the under and take the points for the Giants because there's no way the Eagles are winning double digits in this weather.
Interesting. How about that, huh? See
but
that?
We will win.
But we will win.
We will win.
But not by double digits. No, Greg doesn't think we're going to win
tonight.
Don't
be bad luck.
I'm nervous.
Well, thank God we have something to blame it on. The rain.
The rain.
Yes, that's right? Exactly.
Ah, well, the
blame
rain.
Blame it on the rain.
You know.
All right.
Wentz isn't good in the rain. He's, you know.
But you know what is good in the rain? Cherry Hill Volvo.
Oh, yes, it is. Look
when
at that.
When buying a luxurious
safe,
new
always.
Volvo, yes, they are known for their safety and luxury. So you get that luxury experience, which Cherry Hill Volvo delivers every single time. Stop by today, see their beautiful lineup of vehicles, including the XC60 and 90. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships truly do matter. I'm Dawn Zioli, Show News, radio.com app.
Thank you, Dawn. By the way, the issue of the economy is stupid, because I do believe it's the economy stupid. And that is why, considering the president is incumbent and the economy is strong, it's why I think he's going to get reelected. CNBC's Jim Cramer went head over heels for the job report on Friday. Big job report, huge numbers. Of course, came out after the show, so I couldn't talk about it on Friday. But Cramer was fired up, and I'm telling you, this to me is the biggest indicator of the president's reelection probabilities.
There's a fellow by the name of Michael Semblis. I don't know if you know him, but he is the chairman of market and investment strategy at JP Morgan. He came up with a list of what the cable companies, cable, CNN, MSN, what do they cover? The number 16th is positive economic news. All the rest of them are negative. So you know what's going on here, Joe. People don't want to say good things. And this is the best number I've ever seen in my life.
I said this earlier, can it last forever, Jim? How can it last forever? Unless it's a participation rate.
I think it has to go up, Joe, because when we win the trade war, which you know we're going to win now because we have the better numbers, then they're going to have to put jobs here. That's what they're going to have to do. We're not even talking about that yet. In the end, the Chinese are going to have to put jobs here because this thing is, the president can walk away from the table with this number.
You are so anti-normal, knee-jerk thinking of the MSM. So we could actually have more jobs coming back if we win the trade war. No, you won't see that written or said anywhere.
Well, you know, sometimes the truth sets people free.
Yeah. That's a beautiful
love. Joe, you and I both know. These are 50 years, okay? Now, I'm 64. There's 50 beating. I didn't know about things were in 13 when I was 13 and 14, other than the war. But these are, I'm not going to say it. You can't contradict that these are the best numbers of our lives.
Yeah.
You can't. I mean, we had guns and butter when we were doing these things 50 years ago. And that followed with inflation and recession. I don't see inflation. I don't see recession. 50 years ago, that number was a curse. Now it's a blessing. And you know something, Joe? It doesn't matter whether you hate them or like them. These are real numbers.
That was CNBC's HR department dealing with...
Wow, that was so jarring.
Sorry.
Oh, my God. Jeez. Warn me next time, sorry. Bro. God.
Sorry, I meant to warn you. I was in the clip. Yeah. CNBC took Jim Cramer out back like an old horse. Go run in the field, Jim.
Is he back? Like, somebody's got to make sure he's okay.
Yeah, see, right, he needs a food taster.
He's missing. He's on your milk carton.
Doesn't Jim Cramer sound exactly like that comedian who had the Me Too problem, Louis C.K.? Don't they sound exactly alike? They kind of look alike, too, right? Speaking of sex scandals, there's a reporter, investigative reporter named Mike Fiston. Have you heard about this guy, Mike Fiston? He talked about the Jeffrey Epstein case. Now, this guy's an Epstein investigator. First of all, let me just find out what the movie was. Let's go to Eric in Morristown. Eric, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rich. How are you?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. Love the show.
Thank you, pal. What's the movie?
The movie is one of my favorite from the 80s, Back to School.
Well woo-hoo, done. Woo-hoo. Could they make that movie today?
Oh, man. I wish they could make whatever they want without any restrictions, to be honest.
But probably not. I'll tell you one thing. Robert Downey Jr. would never be part of it. That's for sure.
No.
Yeah. Hey, just wanted to say, love your show. Congratulations on that Oval Office interview. I was amazed to see a local host get that, and that's awesome. Congratulations.
Well, thanks, bud. I appreciate that, Eric. It's nice of you to say. You have a great day, my friend. I appreciate it. 855-839-1210. So this Epstein investigator, Mike Fiston, talked about, because we talked about the flight records and Bill Clinton palling around with Epstein all the time.
Yes.
And why there's not more coverage of the Clintons and Jeffrey Epstein. This is a fascinating clip on Fox News.
And basically he said, listen, I flew the plane. I flew it all over the world. But I was never allowed to really leave the cockpit. I knew there was bedrooms back there. I knew that there was girls that shouldn't have been on the plane that were there. And I couldn't leave the cockpit to go back and look, or I would get fired. But he did tell me some interesting stories. I mean, you know, Jesse, he told me about the stewardesses on the plane would be very young girls. I mean, he couldn't tell me if they were 15, 16, 17, or 18. He just didn't know their ages. But they were very young, definitely not over 18.
And Bill Clinton was on those flights.
Numerous times. And these girls were dressed, that he would describe them as candy stripers. And
wow.
So you're saying on the flights that Bill Clinton was on with Jeffrey Epstein, the stewardess or stewardesses, many of them were underage, were dressed as candy stripers.
Correct.
And there were beds in the back of the plane?
Beds, bedroom, yes.
Was there Secret Service there, or was Hillary there on that flight, or those flights? There were 26 flights, apparently.
Hillary never flew on the plane that we knew of. She was never recorded on going on a plane, and no one's ever seen her on the plane. His daughter was never with him. The Secret Service was with him on most of the occasions, but there were occasions where there was no Secret Service listed as going on the flights with him.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Well, it'd be nice if our press investigated that a little bit, looked into it.
Oh, my God.
Ah! What are you
gonna
do?
This guy's a former a cop, right? Yeah, he worked as an officer for many years,
he's
right?
He's a former detective for Miami, in Miami.
So, he's the next one who's going to kill himself.
Yeah, I was just going to say. Stop. The Clintons are gonna...
I know, we have to...
He's the next, because I'm sure Woke Howard Stern asked about that. So who's the next on the kill list? Is it that investigative reporter? who's the next person to have a suicide? Who's in the Clinton Deadpool this week? That guy, for sure. Clinton Deadpool.
It's worth Googling that clip and watching the full 5-minute thing. It's fascinating.
I was on with Jesse Waters.
Jesse Waters on Saturday night.
Good for him.
And how unusual is it for, you know, the Secret Service not to be with a former president?
Yeah, well,
to say, well, you guys go on the next flight.
I got this. I'm good. Nobody's going to hurt me on this flight unless I want to be hurt. You know what I mean?
Oh, no.
No, that's the way he would say it to them. So, yeah. It's not like the president of the United States can't turn the Secret Service away. It's against the law, but former presidents can.
Oh, okay.
There's no law that says he has to get protection, and they only give it to you for 10 years now after you've left. So after that, you got to pay for it, which is good. You got to pay for the protection. But and you know, Clinton, he's big on protection. I mean, he needs to be. So you know that that's a thing with him.
Yes.
No doubt. But he can easily just say, I'm good today, or and he's paying the tab at this point because he's been out of office for how long? I think, but they might have changed the rule after him. I'm not sure. I got to double check that. But either way, he can say, you know, I'll meet you down there. A couple guys, I'm good, you know. But Trump can't say, I'm going to just drive my car today. And it's against the law for him to drive. There's all kinds of rules on the president that he has to follow. I mean, who's going to? Like they're gonna they probably would impeach him for that. Actually, if the president decided to drive down Pennsylvania Avenue, they probably would impeach him. But anyway, that is some shocking allegations. Huh?
Wow. Yes.
That pilot's dead. He killed himself at about 2 o'clock today. 2 o'clock today.
So
terrible suicide.
So sad.
What he did with himself by hanging himself in a pool of water.
You're obviously joking.
I'm only joking because it's the future. How could I know that would be happening?
But where's the party? Come on, man.
Come on, man. I'm thirsty. I got canopies. Let me tell you something. I've got to play for you this amazing cut. You know, as you try to keep all politics local, one of the big questions, of course, is how is this impeachment going to play with a lot of these Democrats in our area? Jeff Van Drew, who's a Democrat in South Jersey, who's been against impeachment, he got a letter from the Atlantic County Democrats saying, you better vote for impeachment or you're going to be primaried. There are 31 Democrats who are up for re-election. He's one of them. They won districts that Donald Trump won in 2016. But then the Democrats won the district in 2018. Two totally different elections, two different voter turnout models, totally different. But Van Drew is smart enough to know that if he supports impeachment, he's going to lose in the general. The party, however, is going after him now, saying you're going to get a primary. Now, that's fascinating, right? I bet you that's happening in more and more places. It's proof that even in Jersey, the wackos are running the Democrat Party. To say to Van Drew, you vote for impeachment or we're going to get somebody to run against you. The county organization saying that. And three county Democrat chairs refused to sign an endorsement for him because they want him to vote for impeachment first. If that's happening in other places around the country, I can tell you those Democrats are going to be toast when it comes to their reelection, which is good for the Republicans.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.